today that the average penis size has gone up by 30 centimetres. And nobody told me that. You can't go around doing that to me. I did not get the memo.
That's...
Not 30 centimetres, sorry, 30 mil. Say, on, sorry, 30 mil. Yeah, I know, I just realised what I said. That's a whole ruler, could you imagine? 30 mil, I meant 30 mil.
Just walking around with it strapped to their inside leg.
The average man. They're going to start selling like special willy tape. 30 well, yeah, mil.
You've got tit
mil.
Tape, now you've got dick tape.
Yeah, for all your...
Made by duct tape.
Massively hung...
Are we all going around Will Smith style?
Gen Y or whatever the one is after millennials.
Oh, don't. Let's not even get into what's Gen, because that's probably what's going to really come up in today.
Gen Alpha. Yeah, anyway, it's ridiculous. Go on.
Righto. So, are you ready?
Yeah.
Sure?
Yeah, I'm ready, yeah. I don't know. Am I ready? I don't know. Is it recording?
Well, it was recording for that bit where we just talked about the fact you got 30 centimetres wrong.
Oh, perfect. Well, that can be an advert then. Yeah.
Absolutely. Welcome to the show where two men still firmly believe we are in the glorious 80s and 90s. Today we'll mainly panic at how much time has passed since certain names appeared in our lives. Rob, how on earth are you?
I'm good. I'm wondering where I'm going to fit that extra 30 centimetres.
Yeah, so a little bit of a cold open, cheap show-esque there, I would say. Catching our little bit of a conversation, which... 30 centimetres versus 30 millimetres is a big difference.
Yeah, that's how you use it, mate. And you don't talk to me about it.
Oh, God. Right, anyway, you have no idea what we're doing in today's episode. Now, you said you thought you had an inkling about it, so go on, fire away. What did you think I was going to do?
Last time we did a podcast, and you surprised me with news. It was the fact that you're having a baby. So are you having another child?
No. Oh, good God. Oh, I bloody hope not. I've had a vasectomy. So that's
good. So the wife was saying to me, like, instead of a vasectomy, Rob. It's like, yeah, it doesn't always work.
Oh, this did. This did.
Oh, right. You lost 30 mil. We okay, get... right. Oh, God. Can you afford to lose it? Sorry, anyway, right, let's go.
Right, so thankfully, no, absolutely not. There is no more Baby James is going to be appearing in our life. We're quite happy with Baby T and not a Baby K. So we're quite happy with those two, thanks. We're not going to go any kind of... No, it's right. No. I don't think we could afford it, let alone.
Yeah,
good God, no. No, today I am going to ruin your life by telling you some of our favourite things and when they were actually released and how many years that actually is. Because it absolutely upsets me. Whenever I'm on Twitter, I'll get onto there and someone will post, oh, this came out this many years ago. And I'm thinking, no.
Yeah, when Tom's allowed on Twitter, he can find it. I mean, I had a, before we start, we had a, few years ago, we had a labourer, an electrical labourer, was with us, and we were talking about films, and me and one of the other guys were talking about Lord of the Rings, and he called it that old film, and that was a moment for me where I thought, oh no, I'm only 37, I'm old.
God, you know, I didn't even put Lord of the Rings on there, and that's thinking about it, because I'm not a fan of it. I hate Lord of the Rings. I love the books. I love the book The Hobbit, and then the Lord of the Rings films came out, and you know what? In fact, sorry, I was just looking up one film that I knew I should have put on there, but I didn't. Lord of the Rings, it came out at the cinema, and my mum was actually quite excited by it, and she doesn't go to the cinema. I mean, I grew up. And she would take me to the cinema periodically. So I think the things we went and saw, the things I first saw with her were 101 Dalmatians at the old Odeon in St. Albans. We saw Independence Day together. We saw Men in Black together. Babe, Pig in the City we saw together. She took me and my friend to go and see Twister. So those were the sort of films. So getting into kind of those teenage years and being able to take my mum somewhere. And she's like, oh, there's a Lord of the Rings film out. So I said, well, look. it's just me and you at home tonight. I will I will take you to go and see Lord of the Rings. We walked out halfway through.
Really?
Yeah. The thing is, I was brought up with the book. Mm. And mum, I'd say it's probably one of her favourite books. It's definitely within her top 10, let's say. And she is just so angry about the things they changed and the unnecessary additions into there. I mean, things like Liv Tyler's elf character. Mm. If you look at the book, she goes off to the elf safe haven and we never hear from them ever again.
Yeah.
What happens in the film? She goes and does a bit of rescuing first. She gets on her horse, she goes and rescues a few people, and then she disappears off. It's just those little additions really made my mum angry. And it was just like, oh, fair enough. It's fine. But actually, it wasn't even the changes to the story we walked out because of. It was too quick. I wasn't wearing glasses at the time, so I don't know if that would have made a difference. But it was this film. It was, what's his name? Peter Jackson was filming in a different frame rate, wasn't he, for the first time?
I was about to say it was on the first 60 frames per second film.
And what we just found was there's so much action. I'm sure it's very impressive seeing these huge hordes of orcs, but it was so quick you couldn't really focus on anything in our opinion, of course. And I fully accept that there are millions of people that love that franchise and love those films, and I'm not going to say anything against that. That's their choice. But for me, I just couldn't even focus on the battle scenes. As impressive as they were, I just found it really hard to actually pick something to look at.
They are literally my favorite films of all time. I read the other day that Viggo Mortensen is roughly the same age now as Ian McKellen was when he got the role as Gandalf.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah.
So that kind of ages it too, right?
But, you know, this gives you a gist of what I'm about to do to you then. So because I spent the week just choosing some really random things, to make you feel like,
rubbish.
Am I that rubbish or is it that bad? Okay. Now, are you a fan of Green Day? Let's start with Green Day.
Yes, I like Green Day, yeah.
Now, for me, my favourite album of Green Day is Dookie.
Yeah.
It's got some in fact, it's one album, and there's not many albums that I could listen from track one all the way to the final track.
Mm.
And Dookie is just that album that I can.
Is that the Tony Hawk album?
No, it's got Basket Case, it's got When I Come Around.
Yeah, that's the one from Tony Hawk's.
Is it?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, fair enough. Well, this is way before the Tony Hawk game exists.
That's how I know it. That's the way I found out about them through that.
Well, when I got Dookie, the first time I got Dookie, and people may have read this on old web pages when I've written about it, the first time I discovered Dookie was I went into Our Price, and I was still in primary school, and I picked it up on cassette tape, and it was in an Our Price cassette tape deal of like £2.99.
I mean, you've aged yourself by saying Our Price before we even get to cassettes.
Don't forget the fact I worked in Our Price
in Our Price.
So for £2.99, I picked up this cassette of a Dookie. I took it back to my mate's house, Michael Gow, and we went back to his house and we were playing on his Amiga, and we were playing something like Bart versus the Space Mutants or possibly Street Fighter 2 at that point. And we listened to Dookie on his Fisher-Price cassette tape player.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that brown, big, chunky button thing that kids will never understand now. And we listened to it on there, and both of us kind of felt really naughty listening to it, because obviously it was way above our age group at that point. And I fell in love with it, and I didn't understand it then, but moving into kind of my teenage years, that album, just amazing. Anyway, 1994, Dookie, 28 years ago.
Okay.
So then you start thinking about actually how old is Billy Joe and how old's the rest of the band?
Is he collecting a pension?
He's not collecting a pension, no. And then, to be fair, I didn't even bother looking at the ages of him because I didn't think I was going to deep dive
much. Is he bus-pass yet?
He's old. And you just you think 28 years, that's 10 years younger than I am. So I'm 38 at the moment. I'm 39 this year. So 10 years.
When I think of old rock stars, I think of like Keith Harris. You know,
What about James Hetfield from Metallica?
Yeah. They're old rock stars to me, you know.
They are not getting old.
Not Green Day.
No, and it's just...
Blink-182 are probably old too, right?
They would have been, I'm guessing, late... probably not even late teenage. I reckon they were early 20s at that album.
Mm.
So you're looking at, they must be heading into their 50s nearly by now.
Yeah. That's rough.
So yeah, that's kind of the first one I was going to throw at you. And then this, you brought up something actually as I came in. 64 Zoo Lane.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that you hate the theme tune. And you know what? Fair enough. It's one of those ones that gets stuck in your head and then you sing it round and round.
Didn't realise I hated it till today.
Fair enough.
Didn't realise.
CBeebies. Any idea how old CBeebies is? Now, obviously, we wouldn't have had a chance to enjoy this. I'll give you that hint because obviously we would have been at secondary school or college at that point.
Right.
But CBeebies, and for anyone that doesn't know what CBeebies is, so potentially people outside of the UK, CBeebies is a dedicated channel for the 6 and underage group. So there's things like Teletubbies, 64 Zoo Lane.
Well, as I know the year now of 64 Zoo Lane, looked it up. It's got to be like 20 something years. CBeebies.
Well, interesting. CBeebies, and it started off with a couch in a room that kind of looked like a living room. So I think very kind of almost heading towards how CBBC used to look in the broom cupboard.
Mm.
Just a little bit open space. 2002, 21 years that channel's been going.
Yeah, and what have they done with it?
Well, yeah, now we have, you know what, I have to, you'll probably have it as well. I live with it most days now. So we put it on, we have Go Jessers. I think the thing that bugs me the most about CBeebies, and I think it's just really, really crappy, because let's face it, the BBC have got a absolute mint. Mm-hmm. And there are so many shows from when me and you were growing. I mean, Look and Read, for example, unless they've proven Look and Read were teaching things highly incorrectly, so it's not a benefit to children, why aren't they repeating some of the old shows? I mean, yeah, true, you're not going to repeat Bertha. You could quite happily repeat something like Charlie Chalk.
Yeah.
Then you'd get away with that, I think, just about. But instead, what you have is you get up to about midday, and then the shows that played from the morning play all afternoon again. Exactly the same episodes.
We don't ever put kids' telly on because I hate kids' adverts.
Well, you see, at least CBeebies doesn't have adverts.
Oh, doesn't it? Oh, no, that's what I liked about that new channel. Didn't have
CBeebies has no adverts, but basically the first half of the day is repeated in the second half of the day. Mm. The only really thing that I give CBeebies any credence for is the fact that they brought the rights to Bluey for the UK.
Oh, have they?
Yeah, so they've got Blue. They show Bluey on CBeebies every day.
Is that why the Netflix or whoever it is haven't got any? No, Disney haven't got any more series.
I didn't know they'd lost out. They've got three seasons, and they've got half a season still to release. But then again, it's giving you my Bluey fandom. Mm. I haven't been onto Disney recently to see if those extra episodes have appeared yet.
Yeah, we watched them. They were on that.
Ah, okay. So there might be some more episodes. So me and the wife have got something to catch up on them. I'm sorry, I love Bluey.
You know what's a really good new one? Pip and Posey.
Pip and Posey. Okay, that's not one I've heard of.
He loves that. It's 52 episodes, and I didn't realise until we got near the end, it goes through the seasons. It's 50. Every episode is a week in the year.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, it's very cute. It's very wholesome.
Okay,
7 minutes each episode. All of them are ready to download.
Nice. Oh, okay. I'll have to dig that one out. But anyway, so yeah, there you go. CBeebies. I was, let's see, 2002. I had just finished college and I was going into the real world of work at that point. So that's when I started at the Three Hammers.
No, I'd have been in college. I was in 17. Yeah, sort
of. Yeah, so you were drinking in the Three Hammers, but not working in there yet.
Drinking in there. I wasn't working.
Del, can I have a job?
Yeah.
Let's get I'm 18 here. Now. Haven't you always been 18, Rob?
No.
Yes.
We'll see you in 6 weeks when you are 18, Rob.
No, Del and Jan were legendary, though. I'm sorry. So just fill you in. Del and Jan were the landlords of our local pub that the majority of people in the area have worked at. It's one of those jobs that everyone does in the area. Either that or you go and work at the local garden centre or...
I skip those.
I did the garden sale. I did Burson. I loved it. That's where I met Dan.
Yeah, a lot of you guys went there.
It wasn't a bad job, you know. We were outdoors. We had the outdoor Olympics. How far could you throw a compost bag? You had javelin with the bamboo stick. You had all sorts. Then you had unsafe working practices where you basically told two 15-year-olds, there's a chainsaw each, go and stand in that skip and cut up the Christmas trees that didn't get sold.
Oh,
it was perfectly safe.
I think everybody should work in the pub once. I think it's a really good first kind of job to do.
If I didn't work in the pub, I don't know where I would actually be now. And as bizarre as that sounds, and I'm sure people will be saying, no, you're blowing out of all proportion. I was fairly quiet. I went to that pub and you're forced to speak to people. And then I ended up doing at least 6 or 7 years of running the pub quiz every Thursday night on the microphone, talking to the entire audience and drumming up business. So it you're right. It's one of those jobs that absolutely gets you out there and makes you come out of your shell.
Yeah, definitely.
Or some people anyway. I know that we had a couple of very quiet people join and they were lovely, lovely people, but they stayed very quiet.
Yeah.
Unless they were drunk, then they were very loud. Really interesting, that one. Right, okay. So, yeah, CBeebies, 21 years old. Not so scary. Let's take you to where you really, really do love. Demolition Man.
Oh, Demolition Man.
Yeah. Tell us your love for Demolition. Why do you have a love for Demolition Man, first of all? Other than the fact, it's a great film.
I think it's one of the films that... One of those films that it was. It's an 18. It's... I wouldn't let my son watch it. but for some reason, my old man let me watch it. And, oh God, when did it come out? We did that movie thing. It must be in the 80s they come out. But I had a nanny who lived down the road. We're not posh. I just had a woman that looked after me, you know, called Gwen. Beautiful. Absolutely love Gwen.
Good save.
And I remember one time... I hadn't actually watched it yet. My dad was like, oh, yeah, we might be able to watch it. And I hadn't watched it yet. And I told her that I've seen it loads of times. So she let me watch it. And she watched it with me. She couldn't believe that my parents would ever let me watch it. But she let me watch it all the way through. And then she spoke to my parents after. And they were like, no, we don't let him watch it. We haven't really watched him yet. We said we might let him.
I love it.
I wore that VHS out.
Okay, yeah. So it will surprise you then. 1993.
For some reason, I just thought it's always been there. It's one of those things. It's all for me. It's always been there.
It does. It feels.
So I was eight.
It feels like an 80s film. I absolutely agree with you on that. Yeah. But it also, when you then start thinking about it, it absolutely reeks of the 90s in every single way.
They still do that three seashells thing. It's in Cyberpunk.
Yeah, it turns up in all sorts of things. Yeah. Three seashells. Everywhere.
Yeah.
Anything that vaguely kind of harps onto kind of a different way the world is, a dystopian future, because that's what it always is in futuristic bloody films. Dystopian. There is always hidden away somewhere three seashells.
But you know, like, I think about it, Taco Bell has started appearing in Hemel. There's a Taco Bell in Hemel.
We have Taco Bell in England now. And we are all going to die of diarrhea if you go by South Park.
I think of Demolition Man because of that. And I think, well, Taco Bell's going to start
the
taking...
The fast food wars.
Is it the corporate wars or something, isn't it?
The fast food
wars. Is it the fast food wars?
Yeah, it was Pizza Hut, McDonald's, and they Taco Bell won out.
And it's one of those films, you know, when you see an actor clearly is enjoying the role. Wesley Snipes is clearly enjoying
that. Oh, he is enjoying that role. But even Sylvester Stallone is.
Yeah.
And you know, he gets... So much hate sometimes, Sylvester Stallone. I love his film. I know he's not the greatest actor. Mm. I mean, as terrible as this is probably going to sound over these microphones, I don't care. I'm sure Judge Dredd, Sylvester Stallone, what's the one line that comes to mind? And knowing this probably won't work, but...
I'm the law.
Exactly. Yeah. I am the law.
Yeah, that's it.
It's just like, oh dear, you didn't work on that line, but, did you?
You know, and it's one of those things I could believe. Looking back at it, I can believe that the massive difference between equality of people eating their posh Taco Bell and people eating rats—that is something that's quite real. You know,
yeah, absolutely.
The futuristic cars that with the foam comes to you know, protect them from the accident. I could imagine that happening.
Self-driving taxis
exist in America. You know, a machine that tells you off for swearing. I'm pretty sure an Alexa could probably do that.
YouTube.
Yeah.
If you swear too much in a YouTube video, you get demonetized.
Yeah.
If you've even got to monetization in the first place. Yeah. Can you tell I'm bitter?
Cryogenically frozen criminals. I can completely imagine that happening.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And it's... There's so many things in Demolition Man, and it's such a good film, but it's hard to believe that's 30 years old.
Yeah, I actually thought it was older. That one I thought was older.
No, but I can understand why. But again, you look at Sylvester Stallone, and you look at him in his early Rocky days, and fair enough, he looks young.
Mm.
But then the films from kind of the mid-80s to the late 90s. He doesn't change.
What's
it's like Arnold Schwarzenegger. They look the same. Sorry, say that again.
Stop on my mum will shoot.
Oh, don't stop on my mum will shoot.
So
no.
You heard a story about that. So Arnold Schwarzenegger and him were like, you know, bitter kind of rivals, but in a good way. They were kind of jokey with each other and stuff.
Yeah.
And they got to a point where, you know, one of them had to have a bigger gun, one of them had to have more people killed, one had to fire more bullets in each film. This is what Arnold Schwarzenegger said. And what Arnold Schwarzenegger did was him and his team dropped hints that he was going to get this really good film, and the film was Stop or My Mum Will Shoot. But they knew it was a load of rubbish. So they tricked Sylvester Stallone's lot into thinking he was going to get it. So he went for it and got it even then, even though Arnold Schwarzenegger never had any intention of ever doing
that
role.
Yeah, but let's put it this way. Sylvester Stallone did Stop or My Mum Will Shoot, which actually I like as a film. It's fun.
There's two of them.
What?
I'm pretty sure there's a sequel. I don't know if he's in it, but...
But Arnold Schwarzenegger went on to do Twins.
Twins.
I'm sorry.
You haven't seen my film list.
Oh, no. I'm sorry. I put Don't Stop or My Mum Will Shoot above Twins. I'm sorry.
No, I don't.
Oh, no. So, future episode, guys, we are going to discuss our films by year since we were born. And I'm getting an insight in at this point.
Yours is on the site already, right?
Yeah, mine's actually
on
the site.
We're keeping mine a secret,
weren't
we?
If you want to go and see what my film choice is for from 1984 to today, head over to channel84.co.uk and you can see my list there and what I chose. And just to kind of highlight, it doesn't mean they're good films. I easily admit that there are films on there that are bad. But for me, it was about doing films that if I had a lazy Sunday afternoon, I had them all on DVD, I could go along and go, yeah, you know what? I will happily watch the fuck out of that.
Mm.
So now I don't have any qualms with what I put in my list. Neither should you, obviously.
Yeah, some of mine
even
are a
bit special. Twins is on there.
Some of mine are special.
Right, so anyway, Demolition Man, 1993, 30 years old. Unbelievable, but there you go.
Yeah.
We haven't gone into the realm of gaming yet.
And this is going to hurt me, I think.
Well, yes and no. Half-Life.
Okay, Half-Life. So I never had a computer that could run it until the newer Half-Lives were out.
Oh, really? Wow, okay.
I don't think I played Half-Life until I was at university.
Oh, okay.
Because that's when I finally got a computer that could actually do anything. So that passed me by. I imagine it's, I don't know, 20 years old.
1998, 25 years old. Now,
I'd still play that now. I think that's a really good game.
The original Half-Life, absolutely mind-blowing. But young me, so 1998, 25, let's see, I was 13 years old when that came out, roughly.
Mm.
And we had a demo of it on PC Gamer CD on the front of their magazine. And those discs were amazing. You got some great demos. You had a load of utilities. And often you got a lot of... mods for games. There was like an entire Quake mod collection on one of the CDs, and it was just amazing that you could play. And then after Half-Life came out, they had a Half-Life mod library.
Mm-hmm.
And there were two mods, and I'm trying to think, there was one called USS Darkstar, which never got the second half, which was really disappointing because it was a complete mod for the game, and you were basically on a spaceship doing this entire new story, and it was amazing.
So, sorry, Tom, are you telling me that something to do with Half-Life was never finished?
Oh, well, funny that, isn't it? But no, these would have been by modders, so I don't know why they didn't. And then I can't think of the other name of it, but there was basically, it was a great Night of the Living Dead sort of mod. So everything was zombies. It was just, Half-Life was a mind-blowing game. But 13-year-old me, we had the demo. My brother had the only computer in the house, and he'd managed to, without knowing, spec it up and buy it from Dell. And it came with a decent graphics card. It ran Aliens versus Predator, for example, beautifully.
Mm-hmm.
And Half-Life played really nicely. And we played the demo. And there's me going, oh no, GoldenEye looks better. These explosions look rubbish.
Yeah.
And I remember the demo. It was, I think it was the hazardous containment course or whatever they called it, the course where you've got to go through and learn how to do this, that was the demo.
Mm-hmm.
And they threw in a few weapon bits at the end. And it was me going, oh, the flame effects aren't very good, blah, blah. And I'm thinking to myself now, what an absolute knob I was. Because yeah. I look at games now and think, oh, it's too good looking. I bet the story's crap.
I went for a stage of really caring about having games looking really good. But the computer I've got now is probably like 10 years old now. And I remember like when I built it, I was like, oh, I really want the games to look the best. I want to play the best.
Yeah,
now
I aim for ultra settings.
Yeah, I don't care anymore. I play more old games than I do new ones, definitely.
Well, this is it. I mean,
I've gone past it.
I bought that lovely little machine I sent you the other day. I bought what's called a GPD WinMax 2. Mm. Beautiful machine, and it can play some amazing games. The games I've played on it so far are Minecraft and a PlayStation 1 emulator, and I've started Grand Theft Auto 1 again.
Yeah, fantastic.
Because what a game, and I don't care about modern titles anymore. I mean, don't get me wrong, I will play a few modern titles, but I don't think there's been anything since the first Dead Space, and I'm not buying the remaster, I'm sorry, but it didn't need remastering, but that first Dead Space absolutely took me away. I remember sitting on my 360, getting it on the day of release, sitting down. I was meant to go and meet people down the pub. I thought, all right, I'll play an hour, and then that gives me time to get down to the pub. 4 hours later, I then realised, shit, I forgot to go to the pub.
Yeah.
Oh, well, I'll play it for a few more hours. That was how captivating it was. Since then, I don't think I found a game as captivating or as enjoyable. I mean, Grand Theft Auto 5 has been good, but even then, the game stories just aren't what they were, in my opinion. But that's an entire thing we could discuss at another point.
Ryan and I played that together, took in turns, Dead Space. I mention it in a post that's coming up.
Oh, awesome.
One of our collab posts, our first collab.
Nice. Because it was a good game. Mm. The mechanics of it, and even now, it looks good. That's why I don't understand this whole need for remastering, except for the fact that you just want, I think, what is it, the special edition, £68?
Is it? Oh, God.
Or £48 new for the rest of the game. It's like, no thanks, I'll just stick with...
I mean, I've got the original upstairs. I can happily just play that again. It still looks great.
That's
360 games look great, still.
Well, okay. 1998, 25 years ago, Half-Life.
Hmm.
Xbox 360.
I'm going to guess this one. We were playing Xbox 360 when my godson was born. He's about to turn 18.
No way.
Yeah, Alex is about to turn 18. So it's got to be
Holy moly.
It's got to be around 18
it's
years.
Bang on 2005 in North America release.
Yeah, crazy. I mean, that era, so Xbox 360, PS2, and PS1, so a bit past N64, that 3D graphics era is some of my favourite looking stuff. And I didn't really realise it until he likes cars loads.
Oh, right, yeah.
And there's one on Game Pass, there's a cars game on Game Pass. I'm going to start playing that. And the jaggedy edges of all the 3D models on it. Oh, chef kiss. Brilliant, I love it.
A
really hard game too, actually.
But you know what, I still remember when we bought, which one was it? One of the Battlefields on the 360. And
Bad Company, the ones we were playing.
It might have been Bad Company 2.
Two,
I can't
Bad
remember.
Company 2.
Either it was one of the, what was the other range? Was it Call of Duty at that point? It was one of those two. And we discovered that if you went into the disk menu, you could install it to the hard drive and you got the better textures then.
I think that might be Battlefield.
Yeah, I can't quite remember now. But doing that and then seeing the graphics just jump up. Even if it was only that little bit of a notch, but even for the 360, it was like, wow.
Not only that, that was at the same time that I had like an AVR in my bedroom. So I had surround sound in my bedroom, around my bed. I set up around my bed. And you can hear the shell casings of your light machine guns landing on the floor behind you. And that to me was crazy.
No,
the
absolutely.
Sound design in
absolutely.
That game. We call it War Tapes, they call it now. If you go in the menu, it's called War Tapes.
Oh, really? Oh, okay. But no, yeah, the 360, 18 years old. And I often go back and think about this. Now, I had the original Xbox, which we'll come on to in a minute. I've had the Xbox 360, I've had a PlayStation 2. I didn't get the PlayStation 3 because I had a go on it and I felt the controller was really light and I hated the controller and I refused to.
Yeah, it was super light, yeah.
And that's because they lost the DualShock license at that point,
didn't they?
They
didn't have the rumble.
So yeah, they had to have...
the rumble, yeah.
I've had a PS4, then I've had an Xbox Series, Xbox One. I've got an Xbox Series. Oh no, sorry. What is it? An Xbox?
You had an Xbox One X.
Yeah, and then I've
and got
the
got a Series X.
Series X, yeah. Absolutely. And then I've got a PS5 on order at the moment. So I've gone through the majority of them, but still to this day, I would say the 360. Such a close fight between that and the original Xbox. But the 360 just about pips all of those as my favourite games console out of all of those generations. I don't throw kind of the PlayStation 1 or earlier in there because that's a whole different kettle of fish. That's where I learnt gaming. Other than the ZX Spectrum, I learnt my gaming on a Mega Drive and on a PlayStation 1 and the very early PC days. So I don't kind of put any of them above each other because they were all such different things, like the N64 as well. But when we got to the Xbox and the Xbox Series onwards, and all the PlayStations from that period onwards, it was a fight between them as brands, and it still is, let's face it. But no, the 360 is my... That was the best console I've ever owned, sort of thing.
I think the online helped it.
Oh, God, yeah. Yeah, I mean, yeah, that was probably... Okay, so properly online for me was PC... And that was Counter-Strike. But even then, there weren't that many games I played online with that. It was Counter-Strike. We might have done Duke 3D if we could get it working. Maybe Red Alert 2. And that was really about it. But you're right. The Xbox 360 and having Xbox Gold and to be able to put a headset on, even the crappy one that came with it, and be able to play this whole range of games with people. Game changer.
It made it more accessible. I only ever used the headset that come with it. I never ever brought a different one.
No, I didn't.
I still have one upstairs.
I had it plugged into the controller like everyone else did. And by the end of its life, it had tape on the back of it to hold the cable in the very specific measure so that the phono would stay exactly where it needed to be.
It just made it easy for everybody to do it.
And I'll still be honest as well. I loved the Xbox Duke controller, the big, big, chunky, beefy boy.
Yeah, I didn't mind that.
But the 360 controller for me was perfection.
And they barely changed it.
Well, exactly. They barely changed it in current years. You compare it to the 360, there's so few. It might be a little bit bigger now, a few more buttons.
It's certainly
but
heavier.
Ultimately, they hit that perfectly. And you can see why the Stadia controller, the Switch Pro controller, all took that similar design.
Yeah.
And I don't mind the PlayStation controller with the DualShock analogs. Absolutely fine. But yeah, the Xbox controller, for me...
Have you ever held a PS5 controller?
Not yet.
Well, don't go in touch. My wait till yours come up. They feel great.
I have heard
and
that.
And the adaptive triggers are... I think Xbox need to do that.
You see, that's the one thing I've got is when I bought my Series X, no, not Series X, sorry, my Xbox One, I bought with it the Elite Controller 2.
I've got one of those, yeah.
And the difference between that and the boxed controller, holy moly.
I never use the paddles on the back.
No,
I took the pedals off and
I have it. I must look into those and see if they could benefit me in any way. I'm guessing for something like Flight Simulator, they might, having the additional buttons and stuff like that and mapping it out. But it is a supreme controller. But I have heard, and I do look at the technology involved in the PS5 controller and think, why hasn't Xbox gone that far yet with theirs? Because they are losing that battle very much so.
It's a really good controller.
Right, okay, I will look forward to it. But you know what, let's come off from Xbox. Well, actually, no, before we come off Xbox, because I've got one more Xbox on here, and that's the original Xbox. And I honestly thought there was a bigger gap between the 360 and the original Xbox, and obviously not when I had a look.
So I never owned the original one until 2 years ago. No,
right.
No, 2.5 years ago. I got it from eBay just before T was born.
And what have you got? Reckless the Yakuza missions.
No.
I am going to lend you that. You're going to put it in your Xbox and go, well, if they could do graphics on the Xbox like this,
What happened?
Why didn't any of the other games look this good? Right, because okay. honestly, it came out on GameCube and it came out on PS2. And if you look at any review online, the Xbox One is the one to go for. And it looks stunning. Absolutely stunning in every way. And it's just a good, fun game.
Okay, yeah, I've not even heard of it.
People hadn't. It was a release title. And people didn't. And it's you get to drive a DeLorean at some point.
Oh, dear.
You get to drive this giant monster truck. Basically, it's a really simple game. Every level, you get a new car, and there's something else to do. And you've got this big, sprawling city, a bit like Midtown Madness. And you've got to go and do the various things. So it's like, there's four bomb trucks driving around. Go and get them, and then return them to the bomb disposal spot we've specified on screen. There was a game on the Dreamcast called Super Runabout. That was... it's very similar to that.
Okay, I know that one.
But yeah, then you get all these new different cars to play with. And yeah, they're one of them's a DeLorean. You get sports cars, you get monster trucks, you get bus, it, all sorts. But it's a good game. But it looks... The thing about it is, for me, is it pushes the Xbox and probably is one of the best looking games on that system. But that was 2001, so 22 years ago.
I was going to say, it's got to be... If 360 was 18... I was going to say 21 or 22 years.
So I was working. So I was at college. So I'm halfway through college at this point. And I was working at Game Watford. Mm-hmm. And everyone else had done the pre-orders for the PS2, which had already come out, or was coming out at that point, whichever way round it was. And no one wanted to do the pre-orders for the Microsoft one. And we had our corner dedicated to it in the shop. And everyone in the shop was joking around. I just really like the look of it. So the manager said, well, when you're here, you're in charge. So I pushed sales for that goddamn console. And I loved it. And we got so many pre-orders. And we did the midnight opening. And before midnight, we got there for like 10 p.m. Pizzas were ordered in. And in the, I don't know if you remember the old game store in Watford. But when you walked in, on the left and right, facing the till. So if you walked in to your right and left, there were two giant, maybe 50, maybe 85-inch plasma TVs.
Inside or outside?
Inside.
Inside game.
And they were looking towards...
Because there was two games, wasn't there? There's an inside Harley Quinn game and an outside Harley Quinn.
Oh, well, no. So the outside one was Electronics Boutique. It later rebranded as game, but this is game that was inside.
I'm trying to remember.
And they had these two big, giant plasma screen TVs. And I remember getting there at 10 o'clock, and there was an Xbox on each one, network cable running all the way around the doorway. And we did 8-player Halo on it while eating pizza.
Wicked.
And... then the doors opened and we sold out in minutes. Release titles gone, extra controllers gone, consoles gone. And we won that night. We sold the most Xboxes, not just on pre-sales, but we sold the most Xbox pre-sales, actual sales for the entire UK and game. So I was damn chuffed on that one. And then I got to buy an Xbox slightly discounted. And I went to going back to your thing about the AV stuff. Next day, I then went to Curry's, which was next door, Dixon's, that was next door, bought a Yamaha cinema receiver, a surround sound, and had the original surround sound on that Xbox. And I think the first thing I watched on was Event Horizon and scared myself shitless.
Oh, God, Event Horizon. Yeah.
The going through the narrow tunnel circuit board scene in surround sound in pitch black is
I
terrifying.
I struggle watching that. To this. I mean, I only had ever seen that. When Rando showed it to me, I'd never watched it.
Oh, wow, okay.
And wow, it scares me.
So do you know about the fact that it was banned?
No.
So
it was so scary?
It failed to get certification unless major cuts were made to it, and they've been lost. There is no way there's going
to
be a director's cut.
Love to
they've
see
been
the
destroyed.
Uncut.
But apparently the uncut film was uncertifiable. They couldn't put a certificate to it. I don't know. All I've heard is that, basically.
Exorcist
I've been
tame nowadays, isn't it?
That's true, but let's face it, Event Horizon was never tame, even now. So you consider what must have been removed.
I think even if you said to me, let's watch Event Horizon now, I'd be looking outside to see if it's light.
Yeah, fair enough.
Because I wouldn't want to be watching it at like 1 a.m.
Yeah, it's a great film. I love Event Horizon.
I really like
it's,
it, yeah.
I love Sam Neill. And in fact, you've got Lawrence Fishburne in there.
Lawrence Fishburne's the other guy, isn't it? Yeah.
Anyway, right. So yeah, that's all I wanted to say about the original Xbox. It's one of my favourite consoles. And it's just the fact it was a really low year gap between that and the 360. Yeah. And then we slowly kind of got more and more years between. And now we're at this stupid point where you get the Xbox One, Xbox One X. And it's the same concept. It's like a minuscule speed increase.
Yeah, the One and One X were basically the same thing.
Yeah, and to be fair, the 360 did it. Xbox 360, the Xbox 360 Slim.
Yeah, they were just... I don't think that added any functionality.
They added
Wi-Fi.
Other than
a really annoying button. To this day, annoys me.
Oh, what, that touch one?
Yeah, you just got to like walk past it. And the dust that you create opens the dish tray or
so
turns it
on. Don't forget they added Wi-Fi because the initial consoles didn't have Wi-Fi. You had to buy that little dongle,
yeah,
yes.
Yeah, had a dongle, yeah.
Okay, right. Let's come away from gaming. Let's, what shall I, there's not much left on it. Let's do a little bit, one more music bit.
Right.
What do you think of Blink 182 or Blink 182? Whatever the way you're meant to pronounce that, Blink 182 will stick with.
I definitely like them now in my adult years, but I didn't really get into them until I was at the pub.
Fair enough. So, all the small things.
Yeah.
A song that everyone knows and a song that I would guarantee anyone that's vaguely into guitar that wants to do slightly pop punk or punk rock, whatever you want to call it, All the Small Things is one of those first ones that people learn.
25 years ago.
Boom, 1999.
Yeah, I mean, that's quite depressing.
To be honest, I thought it was older. I was going to say, I couldn't place it in my head. I was going to say, is it more towards the realm of Dookie, or did Blink 182 come out that much after Green Day? And it just makes you start thinking, oh, okay, they came out a little bit later. Because
I feel they're the same. In my mind's eye, they're the same.
Exactly. And that was kind of the whole idea of this whole episode was... There's so many things that just run into one, and then you hear that there's this giant gap between certain things that you always attributed together.
It's like Sum 41, you know, they're probably later than that.
They've got to be early 2000s,
yeah,
surely.
But I feel they're in the same category because a film was like American Pie. You know, they're all in that.
Yes, exactly.
So in my brain, they're all the same time. So to tell me that Green Day are a lot older than that, that screws with me.
It is very, very odd, isn't it?
But yeah, I mean, I can't think of Blink 182 without thinking of Telfer. It's just, that's him.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, I didn't put The Offspring on there because, again, I should have, because The Offspring older. They are around Green Day era.
Along with...
Crazy Taxi.
So, The Offspring and Rammstein.
Oh,
are two
Rammstein.
Of my dad's favourites.
Well, hang on. Your dad likes Rammstein.
Dad likes Rammstein, yeah.
That is amazing. Now, none of you will have ever... Well, some of you will have met Rob's dad, but if you ever... You look at him, he's an unassuming gentleman.
Yeah.
You would walk down the street and you'd think, okay, maybe some classical, maybe rock and roll.
Very,
you know, 50s, 60s, 70s rock.
He's a 70-year-old, early 70s-year-old man, very well-spoken, very intelligent. Businessman, London businessman, yeah, and he likes.
And if he had his earphones in, du hast nicht, du hast nicht gefragt.
You know why he likes Kerrang?
Oh man, now
is that still on anymore?
That is a magazine that has changed horrendously, and it's.
I'm talking about the channel.
Yeah, I remember the channel, but I remember the magazine. So I used to buy the magazine at secondary school to fit in. So when I didn't have my clique and I didn't know what I wanted to be...
You wanted people to know you had the Kerrang.
I bought Kerrang and Metal Hammer. And I had a group of friends that enjoyed reading it with me. But that was back in there. And it really was kind of heavy metal. And then, oh God, the thing, the last time I looked at it was probably a good 15 years ago. And it was like 20 Seconds to Mars or whatever their name is in there. It's like... Yeah, this doesn't belong in Kerrang. I don't know what's going on with my life
no
anymore.
No more Slipknot on the front.
No, it's a very different magazine. But so yeah, All the Small Things, 1999, 24 years old. Mm. We'll move over that. I've got, let's have a look, 1, 2, 3 more films and then 2 TV things to finish it off with.
Okay.
And, you know, one of these, I don't think it appears on my list. And it would definitely have come in either second or third place, I think. Mars Attacks.
The film?
The film. Not the... the
Tom Jones's seminal cinema role. It's a 90s film.
It is a 90s film. I remember finishing secondary school for the day 90s, and me and my mates went to the cinema to watch it straight after school.
who's the woman who... Is it... she has the chihuahua and her head gets put on the chihuahua. Who's that? Who's the actress?
Oh, God. You know, I'm going to look that up.
And Tom Jones is in that film.
Tom Jones in that film.
96.
Bang on. 1996. Yes. And a grand total of 27 years ago.
Wow. I have not seen that film in so long, and it didn't even cross my mind doing the film list. And I like Mars Attacks.
Mars Attacks is a wonderful
film. I would watch that right now.
I bought it on Blu-ray and I couldn't find it anywhere. And then it suddenly popped up on Amazon and it's like $4.99 Blu-ray. So I am buying that. Turned up, it's in Italian. You've got to, every time you put it in, you have to change it to English.
My John Wick's in Polish. Oh. That was from Amazon too. Oh my God, how is it? Look, this is so cheap. This, I get this one, yeah.
But okay,
that's why it's cheap.
It's a mid-90s film. It gets 6.4, which I really disagree with on IMDb. And you listen to the cast. We have Jack Nicholson,
mm-hmm.
Pierce Brosnan,
mm-hmm.
Sarah Jessica Parker.
Pierce Brosnan was the guy I was trying to think who else was in it.
He's the one that's dating Sarah Jessica Parker.
Sarah Jessica Parker gets the head on the chihuahua.
You've got Annette Bening, mm-hmm. Glenn Close, Danny DeVito, Martin Short, Michael J. Fox, Rob Steiger, Tom Jones, Lucas Haas, Natalie Portman, Jim Brownlee. You've got so many big Jack Blacks in it.
What did they tell these people this film was about to get them in it?
I have no... Christina Applegate's in it. God, that's a name you don't hear very often anymore.
I'd love to... I think we should watch it together because I would like to see how the CGI holds up now, because in my brain it's perfect.
Yeah, in my brain you can't fault it. And
I have not seen this film in a long time.
Okay, we will have a episode where we watch this, because there's also another episode where we have to watch an episode of Arthur coming up.
Yeah.
And that is going to just, that's going to melt, not let alone the people listening to this, if they ever watched Arthur, the cartoon aardvark we're talking about, not the the film starring Dudley Moore. And this is going to break you, this episode. And I was crying with laughter, trying to work out, please tell me someone's dubbed this and they've accidentally broadcast this. And then it turned up on CBBC. There's a channel called Pluto TV, which is just repeating everything nonstop every day. A bit like Dave.
Mm-hmm.
But it's got adverts, but there's like an Arthur channel. There's a Teen Mum channel. There's a Dog the Bounty Hunter channel. It's an odd one. But yeah, Mars Attacks, 27 years ago. And I still remember to this day, it would have been, I'm guessing it must have been UK. I could look it up, but I'm not going to bother. I'm sure it must have been a winterish or a late autumn release, because I remember leaving school, it was getting dark, and we all walked from Palmer's all the way up to where they just literally had only opened Woodside Cinema there, and all going to go and see Mars Attacks together. Mm. And we loved it. And I still love it. And you're right, it is an absolutely brilliant film.
I hadn't seen it till it was on TV.
Oh, fair enough.
They used to show it on TV quite a lot. It's one of those films that, I don't think they do anymore, where they just, late night, they used to just play films on like Channel 4.
Well, do you remember Film 4? You got weird,
well, that's still around,
art films, but they used to do really good films as well.
Hmm.
And that's actually going to bring us on to something in a minute with regards to TV. And you're saying about Channel 4. Let's come to it now. Channel 5.
Yeah. The speckly porn late at night, Channel 5.
Yeah. We grew up in a world of four channels. Yeah. And I know there'll be people listening to this that grew up in the world of three channels. But we grew up channels 1, 2, 3, and 4. And then along came this new shiny channel and they paid someone. And it turned out it was my mate's dad was paid by someone to come around and retune everyone's TV so they could get channel 5.
Yeah. Channel 5 never worked in my room. It only worked in one room in our house. For some reason, it could only work in like my parents' bedroom. It was the only room that we could get channel 5 to work.
Boom, chugga, bang, bow.
Yeah, exactly. I wonder what they were doing. You know, what I was trying to do. It was awful, the quality of Channel 5 coming through, and I have no idea why. I work in the industry of AV, and I do not know why Channel 5 didn't work.
And this will hurt you then, because we had our main aerial that ran downstairs to our one TV. We were all allowed TVs in our room after a certain age, And we had to live with the little circular metal coat hanger aerial sort of thing on the back of a TV. And it was just after this sort of period, so it would have been about 99, 2000, and I got a bigger TV for Christmas one year, and it was amazing. It was a Wharfdale TV, so it came from Argos, and it was beautiful, and the picture quality was beautiful. I was blown away by it. But the reception was terrible, because really, it would have been for a small living room, not a bedroom, so it didn't have a portable aerial on it. So I remember that morning, not that morning of Christmas Day, obviously, after Christmas, I think it must have been January sales, I walked to town, I went into Wilkinson's, and I bought an aerial kit. So one that you're meant to put on the roof. I bought a length of coax cable. I then came home, I climbed into the loft, I built that aerial, and I strapped it to a loft beam with insulating tape. So it's pointing up towards the stars, not in the right direction.
Not at the right
place. I've then run the coax cable through the loft hatch, down the wall, behind a picture frame, to the TV. And I got perfect signal on all five channels. And you know what's really going to wind you up?
Mm.
It has been 23 years.
It's still there, isn't it?
It's still there. It still works to this day better than the aerial on the roof of the house that's been redone recently. And it does digital.
Oh, that's nuts. Does digital as well. All those poor people had to change their aerials to get digital aerials.
And it's still there with the same insulating tape that I just went round and round and round the bracket with. Ooh. And it's set up. I'll try and get a picture of it next time I'm home, and I'll put it up on the webpage and on the social media. Because that was an absolute win. But you still haven't guessed, though. When was Channel 5?
I think I was obviously still at my parents'. I was just going to say, quick, when I met my now wife, Miranda, she still had a black and white television in her bedroom.
You know, you see, I started with a black and white. My aunt and uncle felt bad that I didn't have a TV where my two brothers did, so they gave me their old one from their little mobile home.
I gave
home.
Her my old television.
And it was a black and white one that you had to rotate to find the channels.
Oh, really? I don't even think my parents had one. My parents had one where you kind of clicked it and it would push other buttons out.
Oh, you know, I remember those. Yes, yeah.
They had one then. Okay, right. So what year was... what was it again?
Channel 5.
Channel 5, sorry. Right. So I would have been my parents still. I was young, exploring my sexuality.
Oh, no.
I don't know how old would I have been. I would have been like 12, I don't know, 12 maybe. So... What's 12? I've got my eyes closed for people who can't see me. 97, 98.
Boom, he's good at this, isn't he, boys and girls? 1997, it
yes.
Went live 26 years ago. And it has had those winning moments where everyone knew it was the porn channel. 11 p.m. onwards, you had soft porn.
Yeah.
Then from about 1 o'clock in the morning.
Sounded great. I can't tell you what it looked like.
Then 1 o'clock in the morning onwards, you had NHL ice hockey.
Oh, did you?
Yeah. And then when we were working at the pub, I used to come home from doing the clothes up, cashing up, get home for about one and have a bit of dinner. I'd sit down and I would watch the Dilbert cartoon. And I loved the Dilbert cartoon strip. So I had no idea there was a cartoon. And I just turned it on, like, what's on? Oh, I watched a bit of ice hockey. Oh, it's not Dilbert. I didn't know there was a cartoon.
Very American
of
you. Isn't Dilbert an American?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, NHL.
Yeah. Oh,
very
I suppose, yeah, sorry, NHL,
but
yeah.
Channel 5 seemed to love kind of the American side of things. But they had so many weird things. But Channel 5, for a period, had the best films. They were doing the terrestrial releases of films more often than the BBC and Channel 4 were doing.
Really?
So film out at the cinema, a year later, you'd think, oh, Channel 4 is probably going to show it, BBC One. Nope, Channel 5.
I didn't get to really see Channel 5 until I got Digibox.
Yeah, well, that's understandable.
I didn't really actually see what they were showing.
Yeah, fair enough. But Channel 5 got a lot of the premieres for terrestrial side of things. And the only other thing I remember is they had I think it was Family Affair or something like that. They had a soap opera that they ran. And it was so bad, they blew up the entire street in a gas explosion and restarted with new cast.
Recast.
And from a recent, and I could be wrong here, it could be a complete different show. Apparently they did it again on a cruise ship where there were these bubbles floating down and then they blew up again. I'm not entirely sure on that. I need to kind of do a little bit of research into that one. But Channel 5 had some very weird moments. But yet they had wrestling. They had all sorts going on for it. So yeah, it should have been a popular channel. It just...
if people can get it.
No.
That's just it.
But, well, Neighbours moved to it eventually. BBC gave up the Neighbours rights and then it went off to Channel 5. I think they've got Home and Away as well, actually. I think so. I'm honestly surprised Channel 5 still exists, if I'm totally honest.
Yeah.
With how it started, how it went, I'm really surprised. But what can you do? But, okay, right, that was the... actually, there is one more TV thing, but we'll come back. We've got two more films then. One's probably going to upset you a little bit more than the other.
Okay.
And we're going into the world of Marvel now.
Mm-hmm.
Iron Man.
I feel like it's recent, but it can't be if you've got it on the list.
Well, that's the thing. Everyone, immediately you go to the MCU, the Marvel Cinematic Universe, and it started with Iron Man.
I must have left the pub at the point in time that Iron Man came out. I can't have been watching Iron Man while I was 18. I can't have been. Can't have been watching it.
Not that long ago, thankfully.
Right.
But I think it will worry you when you hear how long it actually was.
Let's just pretend I was 25. So how? When would have that been? Do the maths in my head. 2010.
2008, 15 years ago, and I rewatched it recently, and it is still a solid film.
Yeah, the first Iron Man is still one of the better ones. Yeah,
it's definitely one of the better ones of the MCU. Let's not get into Iron Man 2, Iron Man 3.
Iron Man film, definitely.
It's funny. I was chatting with people on this the other day, and I can't help but feel now the MCU is done, and I know they're trying to relaunch things and get different stories going in it, but I'm just a bit sick of it now.
I haven't been fussed about seeing one since the Thanos stuff ended.
If I'm honest, I was already getting bored by that point. I was really disappointed by Ant-Man and the Wasp, because the first Ant-Man,
that's the second Ant-Man, isn't it? Yeah.
The first Ant-Man I really enjoyed.
Yeah, it was
really
right.
Enjoyed yeah. That then the second Ant-Man, and it's not really.
I liked the Loki series. I thought the Loki series was good.
I've not watched any of the series. I'm going to be honest there. I've not watched one set. I haven't watched...
I think you'd like WandaVision.
I think you'll like that.
That's a good one.
Okay.
I feel like I actually probably prefer the series at the moment, but I haven't seen the Hawkeye series.
I just think they were all getting really old hat and rehashing things that didn't really need to. And I guess... I got bored of that continuing storyline of the MCU. I got bored of hearing about Thanos and the world getting better and everything after that. And as hated as it was, I enjoyed Captain Marvel. And that's panned by a lot of people. And, you know, I quite enjoyed it.
You know, it's only panned because of things that she said. That's it.
Oh, really?
She said something. I don't remember what it was now. Even if I remembered, I wouldn't say it.
I had fun with it.
It's fine. The film's fine.
Yeah.
There's none of it. People just don't like her. That's literally it. You know what it's like. We know internet culture. That's just what it is.
But for me, the MCU's got a bit... I will go and see Ant-Man and Quantumania or whatever it's called. And I'm really hoping...
Today.
Yeah, it looks really promising.
Dated us.
I will go and see... Guardians of the Galaxy 3, as I've really enjoyed the Guardians of the Galaxy films. But that's because they're so distant from that other storyline that's going on.
Because for me now, the Marvel films are just, meh, okay, there's a Marvel film out. Like, I'm sure the new Black Panther is very good. I'm in no rush to see it. I'll see it eventually. Because it's on Disney Plus, I've got no reason to rush to it.
It's already on Disney.
Yeah, so it's out already, so I'll see it eventually. But I get more annoyed by the... DC stuff messing around with itself, restarting itself,
good
doing
God,
this.
DC.
We're both going to rant.
Absolutely. No,
the new Batman,
go for it.
Film they just did with Robert Pattinson is brilliant. Absolutely brilliant, in my opinion. Have you seen it?
Not yet.
It is brilliant. And they're already redoing Batman again for what's the guy with the blonde hair who's taking over doing all the directing and stuff? What's that dude's name?
Oh God, don't ask me director's name.
Well,
terrible.
He's like now in charge of the DC world, and he's
Oh right, yeah.
That guy, whatever his name is, he's redoing Batman, and they're doing the Robert Pattinson Batman as like an alternate dimension Batman compared to this new Batman. And then
why?
Like the Flash film that's coming out has got that Ezra guy who shouldn't be in another DC film because he doesn't come across as a particularly good person in general. And the trailer's got hints at Superman being it, but actually Supergirl, which is totally cool. I like that. But, you know, Henry Cavill is Superman.
Oh, God, yeah.
Henry Cavill is Superman.
He, ever since Christopher Reeve, he is now the Superman.
Yeah.
And don't get me, I loved things like Smallville. Looking back at it and watching some of the old Smallville, as cheesy as it was good fun. But even then, Superman to me, if it's not Christopher Reeve, it was Henry Cavill.
Mm.
And he has just smashed those roles.
I said ages ago that DC were chasing the Marvel stuff. They shouldn't have bothered. They should have just started, excuse me. They should have just started again, done their own thing.
Yeah.
And built their universe up and got there when they got there. And I think everyone would have been happy with that.
And this is it. And this one of my arguments, as far as Marvel go, they do it. They do this stupid rehash because look at Spider-Man. How many different Spider-Men do we need?
Yeah, so we're on the third now, aren't we? With Tom Holland. Is this the third one?
And same with Hulk.
Well, with Hulk,
I kind of understand what they did. And the first one wasn't wonderful. You had Ed Norton.
Am I right in saying Ed Norton owns the rights to the Hulk film that he was in?
Oh, I had no idea.
Which is why they haven't done another Hulk film, because they can't use those parts of it. Because he said he would only he had to be in it, but they didn't want him to be in it.
Which is disappointing, because I really liked
him. That might be a load of rubbish that I'm saying that. I heard that somewhere, but maybe fair, on TikTok.
But there's always some truth somewhere in things.
I super liked him too. I thought he was really good.
He played the neuroses well. He played... It just worked for me.
They've taken everything else from that film.
And don't get me wrong.
The baddies in She-Hulk.
You see, I've not watched any She-Hulk, but the current bloke that plays the Hulk...
Yeah, I can't remember his name.
I'm really struggling to try and remember his name, but I like him. And when it started going wrong was when we got this weird whole part of the MCU where he's come to terms with this Hulk side of things, and he's
Planet
kind of
Hulk
this
stuff, yeah.
Half and half thing that he is. It's just like,
yeah,
no.
I think Planet Hulk works as a comic. I feel like it didn't really work for me.
And I think there's a lot of Marvel stuff coming out now that works as a comic that doesn't really work. I've enjoyed the Thor films. I watched Love and Thunder with my wife the other day.
That's a really good film.
I like it. It's stupid fun. It's not a good film if you actually want a good film for plot and everything else. But as for a film that goes for it's fun and it's full of exactly the stupid sort of comic book action that you want, that's what I loved about Marvel. And that's what you had with Iron Man.
Yeah.
It wasn't taking itself too seriously, and it really concentrated on getting those things from the comic books that you'd expect in a comic book film. But then there's other Marvel films that just feel very much like they're trying to be political, they're trying to come up with a whole new reason for them being, rather than just staying with that core. It's a superhero film.
Yeah.
Let it be what it is. And DC are doing the same. So they've cancelled Black Adam 2.
Yeah, yeah, this is the whole thing. He's just... Because I haven't seen Black Adam 1. Spoilers, it all can turn off now. But I'm pretty sure Henry Cavill makes an appearance in the post-credit scene, right?
At the very end. So you get basic... And I really enjoyed Black Adam. Again, like I just said with Love and Thunder, it's not a blockbuster film. It's a film that was released as a blockbuster. And it's a very, very enjoyable film for the DC side of things. And it opens up the story of Shazam nicely. And you've got The Rock, who does pretty much what The Rock does, which is just enjoyable screen fodder.
Walking muscle.
And yet you get this post-screen bit where you get Suicide Squad bad guy, and I can't think of her name, who basically is running the super secure prison and running the Suicide Squad.
Same actress.
Yeah, Amanda Holler, that's her name. Yeah. She's basically on the phone to Black Adam saying, I'll let you stay where you are, but if you leave there, we are going to have problems. And he says to her, nothing in this world can stop me. And she says, well, it's lucky I've got something that's not from this world. Mm-hmm. And then the next thing you've got is Superman landing next to him and going, let's have a talk.
Yeah.
And it's like, boom.
Yeah.
That is brilliant.
Yeah. I got little goose pimples then by even you saying it.
And it's not going to happen now. It's just gone.
Yeah.
And it's DC. They don't seem to have a coherent idea anymore. They went from making films that were no comedy, trying to just be ultra, ultra, ultra dark and edgy. They then saw Marvel throwing out a little bit of humour in their films, and then suddenly they started getting a little bit of humour injected into them. Mm. But then, like you said, they reboot, and they reboot it again. And then we get a black and white version of a film as a director's cut, because that's how he wanted it, and the film was crap to start with. I didn't like the whole... I can't even remember which one it was. And then Justice League... It's had way more lemons than the Marvel series, in my opinion.
It's the Justice League could have worked very well had they done an Aquaman film and a Wonder Woman film and the things. I don't know if I remember if they did all them before, but had really filled those characters out more before they did that. Kind of tapping the side there, nearly tapping. But it needed to have it take its time, and they rushed into it.
And Batman versus Superman, for example, could have been a good film.
Yeah.
It wasn't bad, but it really wasn't.
I liked Ben Affleck as Batman.
I didn't think he was bad.
I liked him. He's violent, and I liked
it. But how many more actors do we need as Batman?
Well, apparently one more, whoever he's going to be. And apparently it's not going to be an older Batman. I thought it was going to be...
But that's what I thought they went Robert Pattinson for, because he wasn't the age range that the others had been.
I can't remember if it was going to be actually Batman himself was super old and it was going to be, you know, like the Nightwing kind of, yeah. Or if it was going to be Batman really young. I can't remember what they said. Robert Pattinson, the Batman, who I was not expecting to be particularly brilliant, but I was like, I'm not one of the people that would be like, oh no, he'll be rubbish, and I'm not going to watch it. Oh, wait. And yeah, I think that is my favourite Batman.
The honest answer is, the only reason I didn't watch it, and you can tell me if I'm wrong, is because I'm sick and tired of sitting through Batman films where the exposition of the film is, Mummy and Daddy got killed and I became the Batman.
They don't mention it.
And that's what... Oh, that's
it's
all
not
I,
an origin story. They just expect you to know who Batman is.
But everything seems to be a bloody origin story with DC, and it doesn't need to be. Why not just take a character, look at one of the graphic novels, and just do it. Don't bother with an origin story. Look at who you've really got in Batman. Which one will he fit into? Right, we'll do that one then.
Yeah.
Boom. That's what they need to do. That will get them fans.
Yeah, it's like with Logan. I know we saw all that stuff before, but Old Man Logan is a really good comic. Really good. And I think they did a really good job at putting that into the film. The same with this Batman film. I can't remember what I think the comics might just be called Batman. I've got them upstairs. But that is a really good run.
Right,
I think
they
did a really good job with that one. And I think that's what DC really needs to do. Everyone knows the origin of these. If you're going to do these main characters, just don't do the origin stuff. We all know. It's like Spider-Man. We all know he got bit by a radioactive spider. Just get on with it.
Yeah, I mean, there's a DC film that it opens, and I'm sure it's kind of the origins of Batman, and it's a nightmare or something, where he's getting lifted out of a cave by a group of bats going around like a tornado around him. I can't remember what that might have even been the Ben Affleck era of blimmin' Batman.
That might be Ben Affleck in the Justice League.
This is an absolutely unrequired thing.
Mm.
It's, you're just pandering to, oh, but there might be kids who don't know who Batman is. Doubtful.
Unlikely. We've massively gone off
Yeah, but, sorry, right. Yeah,
we tend to rant.
We were talking about Iron Man, and then, yeah, we ended up with talking about how DC are basically doing what Marvel... They got to a point that they were equaling Marvel to an extent, but then suddenly they've gone well off the rails and dropped everything. But back to Marvel.
Mm.
The original X-Men film.
That can't be older than Iron Man.
Original X-Men.
When do we say Iron Man was?
So you're thinking Hugh Jackman as good old Wolverine, opening with him out in the bar fight.
Oh, God, I only saw something about him the other day about how long he'd been playing Wolverine.
And let's face it, the CGI, even now I can picture, wasn't wonderful.
He is in his 50s. Early 50s, I think, Hugh Jackman now. So how old would he have been when he was playing Wolverine for the first time? In his 20s. No. In his 30s. What's in his 30s? Could have been his 30s. Hugh Jackman's 20s.
The mathematics here is dropping yeah, I'm getting, drastically.
Because getting in his 20s he was on stage in theatre, so he wouldn't have been doing Wolverine then. 15 years ago.
Oh, Rob. Iron Man was 15 years ago, 2008.
Come on.
The year 2000, 23 years ago for the original X-Men film.
I got his age right. He would have been in his 30s.
Yes, you did. So I would have been 16, just leaving secondary school when that first X-Men came out. Which, again, I stand by. It's a good film.
What a film. Yeah.
X-Men 2, okay, not too bad. X-Men 3, what did you do? Why
is
did
that
you
Last
do?
Stand?
That's, yeah, Last Stand with just very, very many things wrong
with
it.
Darth Maul's in those films, isn't he?
He is. He's
with his actual voice, not Peter Sherriff.
Is he the frog thing, lizard thing?
Yeah, because it's Peter Sherriff. I can't say his name is Sherriff. It's his Darth Maul's voice.
Yeah.
So it's not Frogman. But yeah, it's Frogman's voice.
Oh.
It's his own voice.
So that's Darth Maul. But yeah, it's 23 years ago.
Yeah, that's crazy.
I was 16. You were 15 when that first came out.
Yeah.
And that was the first bit of Marvel I really ingested.
I really liked that first one.
I did. And I still do.
They brought back Sabretooth for the later films.
They did indeed. And,
same actor and everything.
Again, people will have no doubt
Ray
criticism
Donovan.
Over it. I liked the young X-Men series films. You know, the X-Men First Class where they're all young and it's kind of their origin of... I enjoyed them as films. I liked...
I only liked the first one.
I see. I didn't mind any of them. What's the one with the giant pyramid Egyptian arsehole? Apocalypse.
Mm.
I enjoyed
That's
it.
That's called X-Men Apocalypse.
Yeah, X-Men Apocalypse. I enjoyed it.
I think I enjoyed it at the time, and I would not watch it again.
Really?
I wouldn't bother. It's not made my list.
that's fair enough. I wouldn't... Yeah, it's not up there. In fact, very few of the X-Men films are actually on... If I said, right, let's watch one of them, there's not many I would.
I think...
I mean, X-Men Wolverine.
Yeah.
Ryan Reynolds with no mouth and being a dead
his
Deadpool.
His Deadpool,
thank
yeah.
God he revived Deadpool and did it properly. That's all I'm going to say on that matter.
Yeah.
And no Green Lantern, DC.
That's terrible. What's the Green Hornet's better?
Never seen Green Hornet. Is that Marvel?
I don't know if it's...
Is it even a comic?
Anyone. It's a comic. I don't know if it's anybody. Well, I think it's a comic.
I honestly couldn't
Seth
tell
Rogen,
you on that.
Right?
It's Seth Rogen.
Maybe he made it up. Who knows?
There was one more I was going to bring up, and I haven't put it on here, and that was Space Jam, 1996. And my only real memory of Space Jam, other than the fact I love it to this
96?
Day... 1996?
1996. When Space Jam came out.
Yeah.
I'd watch that again.
No, I loved it. And
that was a really good
I'm ashamed to admit this, but do you remember when Blockbuster used to go out to Blockbuster and it was still VHS at that point?
Popcorn and a VHS.
Well, they had in the middle of the St. Albans store, they had those wire mesh sort of baskets.
Yep.
And what went in there were the Blockbuster X rentals that you could buy.
Mm-hmm.
I bought Space Jam for £2.99.
Oh, really?
And I took it home. And I'm realising I might have traits here. I watched it about 3 times in a row. And I watched that VHS to death. I loved Space Jam.
I used to rent Mega Drive games from that place. We always used to rent one of the Olympics games on Mega Drive.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I mean, think how many times I rented it, I easily could have brought it like three or four
times. More than likely, but it was Blockbuster. It was an exciting thing. And we'll talk about that in Dad Talk.
I can remember the smell of Blockbuster. It's so vivid. I went every week.
What a place. And it's gone.
Into my 20s. I was going there in my 20s, driving there.
Yeah, I used to go out there to have a look at the PC games, look at the games. Because at that point, they had a Game Station move in there as well. So you'd go and buy secondhand games.
In the corner, yeah.
They had a good game selection in there, actually. And it's one of the only places in St Albans you could buy. We had a game at that point. HMV was just about still there, but their game selection was pretty poor. Blockbuster was the only other place you could go and buy a current video game at that point.
They had a cage. They had things in a cage. Do you remember?
They did.
Yeah.
Right, you know what? We are getting well into the typical realms of over an hour at this point. Final one, Simpsons. And we all know The Simpsons is old. But I'm talking not about the small clips that were shown on the Tracy Ullman show. I'm talking about what we know as The Simpsons. So Simpsons Roasting on Open Fire, the Christmas episode number one, which wasn't number one in the series, but they decided to open with it because it was a festive thing and people would gel to it more.
Right. Okay. So I would have been small because I would watch it at Mark's house.
Nice.
Who did I tell this the other day? So I told someone the other day, and it was a thing we did, like they would do religiously in their house. We'd be there and his dad would shout us to him and say, Simpsons is on. And we'd all come down and hear Mark and I would sit on the floor in front of the television and watch The Simpsons. So, and I've known him my entire life. So I reckon I would have been about 5 or 6. So 90.
89. Yeah. So 1989, and it is that grand total then of 34 years old this year.
And I completely believe it, and it's still brilliant.
It is. The modern series, I will not agree with you on that.
Okay, I stopped liking it, and then it got better again, when Family Guy came out, and they started copying mannerisms of Family Guy and the way Family Guy was shot. Not the rudeness, but the kind of way it was shot.
I know exactly what you mean. Yeah, they kind of took and saw that an edgy cartoon. I mean, talk about Family Guy. Do you remember when Family Guy first showed in the UK? It was on Channel 4 at prime time, so 6:30 in the evening, and there was no swearing in it. The rude jokes were gone, and it made no sense at all.
I watched
3 episodes of it, and it's like, well, this is absolutely rubbish. And then it stopped being showed, and then it started showing on BBC Three, and I gave it another chance. It's like, this makes a whole lot more sense. Now it's rude.
Family Guy is one of those shows that I can understand why people like it. Mm. There are aspects of it that I do find the jokes funny.
They say things that none of us are allowed to say and get away with it.
I do find it funny, but I don't enjoy it. Does that make sense? I won't sit there and watch Family Guy. I won't hunt it out. I won't record it. I won't do anything.
It's a strange one. I used to enjoy the first few seasons, and then I found it was getting very samey, very boring, and then American Dad appeared. And I started watching American Dad. It's like, oh, I really enjoy this. Then that got really boring and samey about the same time, and I thought, oh, let's see what Family Guy's doing. Oh, Family Guy's good again.
Mm.
And it's a weird one, that one. But going back to The Simpsons, 34 years. I didn't watch The Simpsons until about 1995, 1996.
Yeah.
So my parents, and I love my parents, don't get me wrong. My parents thought, and they're not religious in any way, it was evil. And they thought Ren and Stimpy was evil and crap and it would rot our brains, and we therefore were not allowed to watch it. And then somehow, and I don't know how, me and my middle brother persuaded Mum and Dad one evening to sit down at 6 p.m. on BBC Two and watch an episode of The Simpsons. And since then, my dad has not missed an episode. Yeah. He still records it on the DVR they've got at home, the 6 o'clock episode on Channel 4, and he'll go back and watch it if he can't watch it live.
Yeah.
Even if he's seen the episode 100 times, he still does, and they still sit down and watch it.
Yeah.
It was a momentous occasion when they really realised how good it was.
Everybody watched The Simpsons.
But you say that, but something obviously clicked in my parents' brains then, because I told them, oh, well, if you like this, and this is a few years later, because at that point I had no real appreciation for it, but I was watching things like Beavis and Butthead with my friends, and I loved it. Then South Park came out, loved it. Mm. Then I discovered King of the Hill, and I love King of the Hill. And I thought, oh, Mum and Dad might like this. So I said to them, oh, the man that made Beavis and Butthead, and immediately they shut down. Nope, we know what they, nope. I said, just watch it. And again, that, they religiously watched whenever it was, even when Channel 4 were like doing, oh, the new episode of King of the Hill's out at 1 o'clock in the morning. It was recorded on VHS, and they watched it back. Just watching their chain. And if we hadn't had The Simpsons do that in 95, 96, I don't think they would have ever opened their eyes to anything else like King of the Hill.
I can't imagine your parents watching King of the Hill.
Oh, they loved it. And then Mum discovered Everybody Loves Raymond.
That's a really good show.
And King of Queens. And they watched those. And then they also discovered there was a BBC series called Still Game. Really about two comedians done up as old boys and living in a tower block in Scotland. And their stories were really good show. And I seriously do believe that The Simpsons is to thank for them taking a chance to watch things.
Yeah.
I mean, we watch things, don't get me wrong. We used to, way before The Simpsons, we used to sit as a family and watch Roseanne. Channel 4, Roseanne, we'll watch that. Or we'll watch Gladiators as a family on Saturday night. Mm. Krypton Factor on good old BBC, you know. But it's then, well, after they'd started watching The Simpsons, they much more opened up to watching things like Harry Enfield and Chums when it came on, or The Far Show, or Third Rock from the Sun. They absolutely adored. And I love Third Rock from the Sun. I've got to buy it. But you know what? The box of all the series is like £120 because you can't buy it anymore.
Yeah.
But so The Simpsons, 34 years old, and I only got to enjoy it, what, nearly 7 years after it came out.
Yeah.
And then I had all my friends that had Sky go, oh, have you seen the latest episode? Oh, yeah, I saw it. Then finding out that, no, I hadn't seen the latest episode. I'd seen the one from 1991.
Yeah.
It was but there you go. It just blows my mind when we look back at things and thinking how modern certain things are when they really aren't.
Yeah.
I'm glad X-Men actually really threw you on that one. 2000 for that was just, yeah. I mean, I didn't bring up Half-Life 2 because you know what? You already talked about that. Funny enough, that was just when I'd got rid of my first PC and I'd got the original Xbox, was my main game. That's the first time I experienced Half-Life 2 was on the original Xbox, and I completed it on that. And it was an amazing game on that. Then playing it through on the PC and then going, oh, I was let down on the Xbox, wasn't I?
Yeah, that's exactly the same. The first time I ever played was the Orange Box. And then I played on the PC later. I was like, oh, yeah, these are basically two different games.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Oh, thank you for ruining my evening.
Oh, well, you're very welcome. But there you go, ladies and gents. That is the end of episode one. And I hope you've thoroughly enjoyed it. Because you know what? I really enjoyed spending the past hour and 20-odd minutes chatting about it and catching up on all these weird nostalgic things from the 80s and 90s. And yeah, I think, Rob, do you agree? We are very much stuck in the 80s and 90s as a pair. I mean, I don't mind the early 2000s. I don't mind current days. Obviously, the things that are going on in our lives. Obviously, I love being where I am right now. But if I could, the 80s and 90s are a place I would happily go back to.
Yeah, I think I pretend I'm in this time, but I don't think I am.
Oh, well, you know, we have been rambling on well past what we should have been. So let's absolutely kind of finish it there. If you want to talk to us, you can find us on Twitter @_channel84. You can also find us on Facebook under the Channel 84 Variety Show. Type that into the search box, you will find us. You can also head over to channel84.co.uk, which is our site, which will get the latest episode of the podcast. It also has our blog posts that are released daily sometimes weekly. It depends how much writing we get done. And you can also find us over on YouTube, which will be, I think, TJ Channel 84. And I will put it in the notes on this. So if I'm wrong, you can check there. And ultimately, you can find all our links at channel84.start.page. So there's lots of ways you can get in contact. And finally, if you want to email us, find us on podcasts@channel84.co.uk. Rob, is there anything else you want to bring up before we leave these lovely people for another evening and come back to them in the next episode?
I'd just like to tell you that I love you.
I love you too, big boy. Can you remember what we were going to do for the next episode? I know I'd kind of got down episode 3 was possibly going to be Arthur.
It was films, right? We can do our film.
It was the film episode. Yeah. Yeah. The next episode, which is going to be with you in about 2 weeks' time, is going to be us talking about film. Then we're going to have a bit of a dad talk episode, I think, and then we'll do the Arthur episode. I think we need a bit of a dad talk episode thrown in there, so I'm
sure. Maybe it was dad talk was the next one. I don't remember the list.
No, we'll
figure
it out. We'll figure it out. Keep an eye on the webpage, keep an eye on the social front, and we will post an update there. Take it easy, and we will see you all very soon.
Love you, bye.